Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
I just think every year you get tested through adversity in different ways, shapes, and forms. And I thought our guys stood up yesterday. We knew it wasn't going to be easy. It's never easy in any week of the NFL season. And we were on the road. But we faced some adversity in that particular game yesterday early on, down 10-0. And we stayed patient on the offensive side and chipped away at it. Wanted more red zone production, as we all know about. But I was proud of the way the guys, all three phases, chipped in on the win there. So that was good to see.
Bills head coach Sean McDermott. Bills 5-2, welcoming the Patriots this week. Week 7 in the books with the Rams beating the Bears last night, 24-10. The Bears' defense outscored their offense, which is not good. Matt Nagy says that's unacceptable for that to happen. Nick Foles was intercepted twice in that 24-10 win for the Rams. Cowboys are making it known. Everson Griffin, defensive end, is available for a trade. He is in the final year of a contract. $3 million salary, $3 million bonus. His cap hits like 5.5. Adam Gase tells Sam Darnold, we have to stay the course after their latest loss. They dropped, of course. They're still winless. And this week are 20-point underdogs to the Kansas City
Chiefs.
Stay the course. And the World Series resumes tonight. You've got Game 6 between the Dodgers and Rays, with the LA Dodgers a chance to win the World Series. So that's your set of sports headlines. Jeremy White with Nate Geary. Howard's off today. And joining us on the Wester Hotline is Joe Marino on Twitter, at the Joe Marino. Joe of the Draft Network and the Draft Dudes podcast and the Locked On Bills podcast. Joe, good morning. It's Jeremy and Nate. Thanks for giving us some time.
Hey, good morning. Thanks for having me on.
I wanted to have you on and have Nate here as well, because I think for Bills fans right now, they feel pretty good about the team, but the offense has not looked as explosive. And I guess, you know, the conversation that starts to come out of that, Joe, is, this is a phrase, I'm not saying this is the truth, but is the book out on the Bills offense? You know, copycat league teams are going to start looking at what works against this Bills offense. So in the sense that I mean it, is the book out on what you can do to slow down this Bills offense right now?
You know, it's interesting. Last year, Josh Allen seemed to struggle with the cover zero blitz-heavy defenses. And this year, it seems like he's been able to solve that for the most part. And now teams are playing more relaxed against him, a lot of deeper looks where they're playing softer in covers, deeper safeties. And seeing if Josh Allen's willing to be patient, if he's willing to make throws of anticipation, willing to let routes develop and hit throws that are between zone defenders. And, you know, it's an interesting idea, because we know that Josh Allen at his heart is a gunslinger that wants to hit throws down the field, and it's really challenging that approach that he says he's had going into this year, where he's going to be more willing to take profits and take what the defense gives him. And so I think that's the challenge that he's seeing now. And so I thought you saw some good moments against the Jets, and when you think about the way that game went early and as it progressed, I think you saw Josh Allen play better and better, and I think that's because he got out of that mentality early on. He forced some throws early on, a couple of near interceptions, but as he was more willing to take those profits and work the ball between zones, you saw the efficiency of the offense increase. And I thought you heard Coach McDermott talk about that after the game, where he said he was really pleased with Josh's willingness to do that, and it showed great growth and maturity. So I think it's just the next step for Josh. It's the next way that defenses are playing him. And it's interesting because it's almost a compliment to Josh in that, well, you figured out this last thing, so now we're going to try this, and we'll see if you can figure this out. And I think that's the challenge ahead for Josh Allen. And I think the Jets game, as that went along, was pretty positive and encouraging for him to be able to overcome that and beat soft zone moving forward.
And when it comes to, you know, beating soft zone, you know, one of the things is beating it. Do they want to beat it well enough where they get teams out of it? Because are the Bills probably destined to be their best in the kind of defenses they were facing before, or is this just a, you know, take it as it comes each and every week depending on your opponent?
Well, yeah, the dream for this Bills offense, the way it's engineered, is for it to face man-heavy defenses. I mean, that's when you saw Josh Allen just carving up defenses, hitting throws down the field. You have wide receivers running away from defenders, and Josh is hitting them. And so it's one of those things where as Josh is willing to take those profits, you know, those corners and those zone defenders are going to squat a little bit more. They're going to want to be able to drive and flick and close and play forward. And it's going to set up double moves and opportunities for Josh to work the ball down the field. So those rewards come with that willingness to take the profit. And that'll be the test for Josh Allen, because those throws down the field are still there. Every defense gives you something, but you got to soften them up even more and be willing to get those guys to cheat down a little bit and then hit those plays over the top.
You know, Joe, one of the things that we've been, I don't know, debating is a poor word, but one of the things we've been talking a lot about, and really this kind of dates back really to week one, is their inability to run the football with efficiency and being effective running the football. For you, last week, I think they started, Zach Moss finally looks like the guy that a lot of people talked about him being coming into the draft last year as this guy that is physical, runs with physicality, is a downhill north-south runner. And the first couple weeks, we just didn't see that. Obviously, the injury took it, you know, kind of took him out of action as well. What are you seeing with this run game week in and week out? And are you kind of in the same camp that, you know, Jeremy and I are, that we don't want to see them run with more volume? I don't really care to see them run more, but I think we all want to see them run more efficiently. And could that be a way to combat how teams are defending Josh Allen?
Well, I do think I'm with you guys. I want 65-35 pass-run splits. Modern football is about throwing it. You got to be able to do it well. The best thing that this Bills offense does is throw it, and that's great because that's trending with what wins in the NFL. So getting a lot of questions myself about, you know, the efficiency of the run game and allowing these guys to get in rhythm and making it more of an emphasis, I'm like, no. You don't want that at all. That's not how you win in today's NFL. This is what I'll say about the run game and some of the issues that I've watched on tape. I would say it's a combination of a couple of things. I think bad interior run blocking has contributed from the guards primarily, where they're not able to create that push up front. And then I think the second thing that maybe some people aren't really willing to talk about, to acknowledge and admit, is that the Bills have slow running backs. I mean, Devin Singletary and Zach Moss are not fleet of foot. They're not guys that are springy. They're not guys that are going to really challenge the perimeter. And when you don't have to respect it as a defense, you know that they don't have speed out of the backfield to really challenge it, to be able to corner your defense and work outside. You play everything a little bit tighter. And I noticed this week one against the Jets when I was trying to figure out, okay, why couldn't they run the football? And I'm like, it's not because they're not getting the right looks, they're not getting the right numbers advantages. It's that these linebackers that they're going up against are willing to play so tight in the box because there's no threat to work the ball outside and off tackle. And that's why the Isaiah McKenzie jet motion thing is so important to this to this offense, because it makes those linebackers respect that perimeter run threat. It holds them in place, and it allows those interior gaps to stay available longer for slower running backs. So we love the vision. We love the contact balance when it comes to Moss and Singletary. You know, even there's some shiftiness. There's some agility there in tight spaces. But when it comes to foot races, being able to just outrun guys to break pursuit angles to the boundary, they don't have that. And I think that allows defenses to play things tighter, and it makes the entire rushing, you know, the offense, it's just like, think about a passer. If you go up as a quarterback that only throws the football to one particular area, you kind of know where the ball's going and where to key in. It's very much like this Bills run offense, where it's pretty tight, and they don't have the speed to really challenge the perimeter, and I think that really congests things and makes it difficult to run the football. I mean, it's tough to move guys out of the way and run the ball in the NFL. It's even tougher when they don't have to respect the D gaps, if you will.
And with that said, like, are you on team give TJ Yeldon a look, or were you very much on board with the Bills looking for Le'Veon Bell? Not to say these guys are the fastest guys or necessarily better, but any sort of change of pace, any sort of boost to the speed back there?
Well, I think.
Oh, do we lose Joe?
That sweep is part of what they do. I think. I feel like I'm still here. You guys got
no,
me?
Yeah, we got, you,
we got
Joe.
You. Go ahead, Joe.
Okay. Yeah, so I was talking about the Isaiah McKenzie jet motion role, I think, is very important. I think Josh Allen being able to run a little bit on some design runs and making sure that that is respected, because a lot of times when they run that, it's off tackle. They introduce extra gaps, and it's successful. So that matters. But, you know, unless you're going to add a legitimate speed threat, a guy that's going to win foot races and break pursuit angles, you know, I'm not sure that TJ Yeldon's an upgrade over Moss or Singletary. I will say that Yeldon's been effective when he's been in there this year, but I don't think he's a difference maker when it comes to some of these issues that exist with the inefficiency of the Bills' run game at times this year.
Joe Marino joining us on the Western Hotline as we break down this Bills' offense and how things are working and not working. With just regard to the offensive line, how do you think things have gone for this team? They've had to move pieces around. You know, injuries, just a little bit of a – I think they've moved things a lot more than they really planned to coming into the year.
Well, I think you got to love what's happening at center at both tackle spots. Dawkins, Morris, and Darrell Williams have been terrific this year. It's the guards. And obviously, you know, John Feliciano never was healthy to start the year. Hopefully he can come back this week. But, you know, it's been a lot of different combinations at guard, and I don't think anybody's been that successful. You know, Quinton Spain gets benched and cut eventually. Brian Winters, I think, has been extremely ineffective. Ike Bakker in his NFL debut was really disappointing. You're talking about a guy that's been around for a while, been developing, and I don't think he looked like he was, you know, like he could play. I thought he was a liability out there. Gave up 9 pressures and really couldn't stay square in the run game. Cody Ford's been okay, but now he's hurt. So I feel like they just haven't been able to get the right combinations at guard. So as good as the center and two tackles have been, this guard situation has been disappointing. I think hopefully with the return of Feliciano, Cody Ford comes back, you can kind of have your ideal pairing. But I think that's where things have gone south when it comes to the Bills' offensive line. It's those guards and the inconsistency and not having the right combinations. And you know, you heard Brandon Bean when he was commenting on Quinton Spain's release. He talked about the lack of preseason, didn't give him chances to really evaluate certain combinations. And, you know, it's kind of surprising that it's taken this long to figure out the right two to play. But maybe John Feliciano not being available has really caused a wrench there that they haven't been able to overcome, and maybe that's solved this week.
Do you feel like there's a missing piece at tight end at all in this group that they've got? Dawson Knox has missed some time. Croft had to play along the sideline. But, you know, you're talking about how if they had speed at running back, that might help things with regard to matchups and how they could get to the boundary. They could get through those holes quicker. Would a tight end make a difference in the passing game? It doesn't have to necessarily be someone that's not on the roster, someone that is on the roster, the way they use their tight ends. Because I do get the sense that there's a good chunk of Bills fans that wish that they had a weapon like, you know, some of the premier offenses have at tight end. It's easy to just say you want one. It's harder to get one. How much of a difference do you think that would make if the Bills could develop someone in that spot?
You know, I was really exciting watching this team earlier this year and seeing how tight ends were being used. And they weren't tight ends. They were H-backs. I mean, they were legit playing in the backfield, in the slot. You know, 30% of the snaps were in the backfield. And so I was really interested in what Brian Daboll was doing there. But I think Dawson Knox not being able to stay healthy this year, whether it's been a concussion or other injuries that he's dealt with this year, has really limited what they want in that role. Because I know that we have all frustrations about some of the inconsistency that come with Dawson Knox, whether it's been drops or fumbles. He's the type of physical talent that has the skill to really develop into a nightmare for defenses with his size, with his athleticism, with his physicality, with his demeanor. You know, if he can put it all together, he can be a really dangerous weapon. And, you know, I don't feel like his second season has really gotten off the ground. I mean, really exciting moments last year, but a 20% drop rate really kind of tossed a wet blanket over the player we saw last year. But you kind of were excited to see the growth this year. I mean, I'm listening to Josh Allen on Mark Sanchez's podcast talking about how he thought Dawson Knox could be a top 10 tight end this year. But I just don't think he's been able to get going. So I think the answer could be Dawson Knox, but he's not available. But I think there's been a couple of games, whether it's, you know, Sunday 4-for-64 against the Jets. Yet another game earlier this year where Tyler Croft has been able to produce. And so, you know, I think it's a situation where maybe he's a bit less dynamic, and so he's a bit more of an afterthought when it comes to target distribution for Josh Allen. But I do think that, yeah, that's another layer to this offense that could be exciting, and I was really interested to see what Brian Daboll was going to do with that role as it evolved, as they were using that tight end as more of an H-back.
So, Joe, on the defensive side of the ball, it's very clear they figured something out in that second half. Whether, and in my opinion, I just think it was Jerry Hughes played with his hair on fire in that second half, and I think it was a big catalyst to them having that turnaround that they did, giving up just 4 yards to that Jets offense, which is sort of what we were expecting to see in the first half. But in your opinion, obviously the talk of the defense has been their struggles, but the guy that has maybe worn most of the fault in those struggles has been Tremaine Edmonds. What did you see last week in that second half that maybe gives you some confidence that there's a turnaround with him in particular, but this defense as a whole?
Well, you like to see Tremaine Edmonds intercept those two passes that were right in his hand.
That might have helped. That might have helped.
You know, I think Tremaine's been hurt. You know, it's one of those things where he did hurt his shoulder against the Jets. But I thought, I remember watching that game earlier before that missed tackle on Jamison Crowder in week one and thinking to myself, I didn't think Tremaine was right even before then. Just the way he was running, the way he was taking on contact, the way he was tackling, it just didn't seem like he was was healthy at all. And, you know, he said it. We've heard Leslie Frazier, Sean McDermott. I mean, obviously the guy has a shoulder injury, and that's led to how ineffective he's been this year. Like, somewhere inside of that 6'5", 250-pound frame that wears number 49 is the player we saw last year, right? So I think injuries contribute to his performance so far in 2020. But I do think that in the second half, I mean, we can point to a lot of different things. I think they had some very effective blitzes. You saw more individual one-on-one battles being won. But I think what this defense has been missing that we saw in the second half against the Jets is just an edge. You know, we talk about, like, defenses and fundamentals and technique, and all that really matters and is important. But to be a defensive player, there's also a mentality and mindset and an edge that goes with it. And I thought you saw some of that attitude and intensity pick up for the Bills in the second half, which certainly comes with playing well. You can feed off of your teammates and because of the success, and where, you know, you watch earlier this year and it just felt like the team was reeling. They're on their heels, they're guessing, they're not playing fast, they're not thinking. So just as much as I think there were some good schematic adjustments and some good individual moments that led to good plays for the Bills defense, I think that they got their edge back a little bit, and I think that's going to be important. And I know that's not quantifiable and it's sometimes cheesy to talk about, but I think that mentality is something that's really going to be important for this defense to pick itself up and play, you know, somewhat like what we've seen in the past from Sean McDermott's unit.
Joe Marino joining us. Before we get to the quick question on the draft, this week's game, New England, what do you think? I mean, what do you see? It feels like the Bills have to win this game because New England is reeling. Their offense has had such big problems in the last few weeks, and, you know, Cam Newton's worried about getting benched. So when you look at the Patriots, what are you seeing from Cam Newton in that offense?
You know, they've really struggled. I mean, they've scored 10, 12, and 6 points in their last three games. They're reeling. They're not playing well. They're 2-4. Cam Newton's been extremely ineffective since, you know, really the first couple games of the season, where I think everyone was trying to figure out what this Patriots offense was going to be, and I think that gave them an advantage. Now there's a little bit of tape out there, and they can't move the ball defensively. They're giving up more yards per game than the Bills. You know, so, I mean, they're struggling. They're struggling on defense, too. And so it's a home game for Buffalo. They're 5-2. Patriots are 2-4. Got a chance to be 6-2 and 4-0 in the division halfway through. It feels like, more so than a game that you have to win, it just feels like it's one that you really just need to take advantage of this opportunity in this moment. Obviously, the Bills wanting to win the division for the first time since 1995, it's right there. And it feels like this would be a really important step in getting that done. If they don't win the game, there's still 8 more games to play. You're still 5-3. You still have plenty of opportunities, but it stiffens up. You got some tough games. You got Pittsburgh and San Francisco and Seattle, and at Arizona looks difficult, and another one against the Patriots. It doesn't get easier in terms of the schedule, and so you might have to steal a couple of games later down the road. But it's you feel like it. if you win this game, it's just the positioning seems so much more favorable. And it's interesting, the team that's on the Bills' heels is the Miami Dolphins. They're 3-3. They're playing great defense. They're introducing Tua Tagovailoa as a starting quarterback to give that offense more of a spark. It's playing good, but third downs in red zone, it can improve. Tua's going to unleash the RPO game for that offense. And I think it was a move that Coach Flores thought, well, I think we can be even better. And the difference between the Bills' schedule and the Dolphins' schedule is two games. And the Bills have to play Pittsburgh and Tennessee, and Miami has to play Jacksonville and Cincinnati, right? So it's quite the gift of not being the second-place team in the AFC East last year. So that's the team to worry about is the Dolphins.
And I saw Shaq Lawson, you know, former Bill, he's there in Miami. He said Tua is going to be a star. Like, they're ready. The players, the other players with the Dolphins are fully expecting this to go well right away. Like, what they've seen from him, they've been impressed at this point. And, you know, maybe the trend in the NFL of quarterbacks showing up and doing well right away, whether that's Justin Herbert or Joe Burrow, you know, there's maybe more reason to think that Tua can get things done, because the way the league has gone, guys come in and they actually do pretty well right out of the gate.
Yeah, there's no question, and you have to think, though, with the way Herbert and Burrow are playing, that there's probably even more stress and expectations for Tua to come in and play well. And obviously, Fitz has been pretty good for them, so it's not like he's taking over for a guy that's struggling, you know. So there's a lot of pressure probably on Tua, but I mean, his skill set's very exciting, and I know that Bills fans may not want to hear this, but I think he's going to be a successful quarterback for Miami, and we'll see a lot of pressure on that team. And I think they're still a young team. There's still a lot of new pieces, so there's a lot that has to come together. But that's the team, right? That's the team that I would be more nervous about than New England at this point, even though obviously we know the last 16 years the Patriots have come away with the AFC East title.
Joe Marino of the Draft Network. Joe, how much traffic is the website getting from New York, Minnesota? it really seems like, and trust me, like, I'm not snarky here, even though the Bills are not in this. If they were, I'm not saying it would be more thrilling than what they're doing. But this year in the NFL, there's a real race to the bottom. It will be a real race, and the Jets, the Giants, the Vikings, the Jaguars, you've got a bunch of teams that are looking to move pieces and get to the bottom for what's at the top of this draft.
Yeah, you know, something we kind of talked about going into the year is that the difference between the top tier teams and the bottom tier teams would be really, really sharp this year. And I think going into last week, you had 10 teams in the NFL with one or less wins. You know, I think a couple of those they wound up winning last week, but you still have almost 10 of those teams. So it's a real race here, and you got to think. I mean, there's some premier quarterbacks, Trevor Lawrence and Justin Fields, and so. You know, a lot of these teams probably looking at that and trying to balance, well, we want to compete and perform and grow as a team, but kind of need this new direction at quarterback. And so the race for the playoffs will be exciting, but so will the race for the number one pick this year. Some teams, like you mentioned there, I mean, Dallas is in it, Minnesota, teams that maybe we didn't anticipate being struggling so much this year. They're in the draft discussion way earlier than they normally are.
Yeah. All right, Joe, thanks. Always a pleasure. Thanks for the time. Website is thedraftnetwork.com. You can find him on Twitter at TheJoeMarino. Thanks, Joe.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate you having me.
No problem. Anytime. Good stuff. The running back thing, Nate, I meant to give you a stat. I teased a stat, and then I never gave it. So here it is, because I forgot. So Le'Veon Bell's a guy the Bills wanted, right? The Bills were interested. They didn't get him. He goes to the Chiefs to help spell Clyde Edwards-Helaire.
Mm-hmm.
And Le'Veon Bell, I'm not exactly like the biggest Bell fan, but I do think that there are times where a running back with a big name has a bad couple of years, and it gets hung on him that the scheme, the offense, whatever is bad. What I'm basically telling you, I think the Bucs should play Leonard Fournette more.
Oh, my gosh, yeah.
I mean, without a doubt.
Yeah.
He had bad years in Jacksonville because he was running into the line.
And also, his bad years included, like, 1,000-yard seasons and 40-plus catches. And
he breaks tackles and he makes guys miss on a level that Christian McCaffrey does. But whatever. That's not what I'm getting to. Le'Veon Bell. So he had 264 carries with the Jets. He went for 16 yards on his first carry with the Chiefs. In his 264 carries with the Jets, he had one longer than 16 yards.
Yeah.
Like,
I said from the very beginning, though, Jeremy, in my defense of this explanation, is when Le'Veon Bell signed there, I never thought it was a good relationship between him and that team.
Sure,
they don't have the offensive line. Listen, there are only a couple of teams that Le'Veon Bell can really, really be Le'Veon Bell.
He's the guy that stands behind the line of scrimmage and then goes.
You need an offensive line that can make an immediate push at the line of scrimmage. You need the Pittsburgh Steelers had one of the best offensive lines in football when Le'Veon Bell left. He went from the best to the worst. I was expecting exactly what we saw in New York from
NFL
the very beginning.
Next Gen Stats does a stat they call efficiency, which might be a bit of a bad name for it. It's how much time you spend behind the line of scrimmage. And it might make it sound like you're slow, but really what it does is talk about the different kinds of running backs. And Bell's like the old Terrell Davis with the Broncos, right? Like, swing it out, let him wait, and then hammer it through whatever hole you find. With the Jets, that was just never happening. So it's a good pickup for the Chiefs. The Bills don't exactly run that scheme. I'm not sure how the fit would have been here.
Either do I. I almost don't even care, though.
Yeah, right? I'm not that worried about it. Yeah. I would have taken it. We'll see. 803-0550. But hey, he went to the Chiefs. And the Chiefs got a little bit of a little bit better, and the Jets got worse. I think they got.
I don't know. Yeah, they're probably the same. They didn't use them anyways.
All right, 803-0550 to join us. You want to chime in on the Bills, on the run game, on the pass game, on the Patriots week. It's all available for you. Jeremy White, Nate Geary here on WGR.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Back here, Jeremy White, Nate Geary on WGR. Game 6 of the World Series tonight. Dodgers and Rays on the way. Dodgers can win this thing. And then the NFL has the full spotlight all to itself. College football, of course, too. But Game 6 of the World Series is tonight. The Bears lose to the Rams last night, 24-10. And both teams now sit at 5-2. Bears are a funny one. The Bears beat the Bucks, right? And I don't know that anybody really believes in their offense in a big way, but their defense has been good. Nick Foles throws two picks in that game. I think the Rams are good. I think the Rams are back. Last year they had a down year. This year they look like they're right back there as a contender in the NFC. So they get the win. Shaq Lawson, I mentioned his comments on Tua Tagovailoa. A number of Dolphins players are talking up Tua ahead of his first start. Tua and the Dolphins will play this week against the Rams, who just played last night. So he gets Aaron Donald in his first game. But Mike Gesicki says everyone's excited about Tua's debut. They all have confidence in he's going to go out and make plays. Shaq Lawson says he's everything you want in a quarterback and that he's going to show how incredible of a player he is. So definitely a game to watch, right? Like, that might be the – for Bills fans outside of Bills-Patriots – maybe it's Steelers-Ravens, but I think eyes on Tua might be like the most important thing for the weekend that's coming outside of Bills-Patriots.
Off the bye week, too, for them. So they get a nice 2 weeks to get Tua ready for the game.
Yeah. 803-0550, those are your sports headlines if you want to join us. We're happy to take your phone calls. 1-888-550-2550. Nate in Hamburg is going to join us now. Nate, good morning. You're on Nate dropped. Nate, Geary.
Yeah.
Nate,
yeah.
On behalf of Nate's
on behalf
around
of
the world,
Nate's everywhere.
What do you have to say for Nate in Hamburg?
It's weird because I'm Nate from Hamburg, so it's, you know, it's...
Wow.
I looked at the board and I was like, Brayton, you you messing with me here? Like, what do we got? Like, I'm here.
All right.
I stole your phone.
Well,
yeah.
The good news is we do know what Nate in Hamburg was going to ask, so we can just ask... I can ask you, Nate in Hamburg. is Josh Allen trying to force the ball to Stephon Diggs too much?
Nah.
I don't think so either.
He could, if he wants to, I would be open to him doing that, though.
Yeah, I mean, it's a player worth forcing the ball to.
It is definitely not a Baker Mayfield, Odell Beckham Jr. situation.
Was Baker forcing it to Odell? Because Odell's targets were never that high.
No, but the offense went on a pretty remarkable run after he went out of the game.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'm really willing to connect all those dots to get there, but yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's a case to be made. You know, I mean, he started 0-5 and then went 21 straight, so.
Right, right. I mean, Diggs' target numbers. Diggs had 11 targets against the Jets, only 8 against Kansas City. Had 16 against the Titans. 10 catches.
I'm good anywhere between. I'm good in double digits. I just like to see him at double digits every single week. Whether that gets to 15 or 16 or whatever, as long as he's at double digits every week, I will not complain.
Yeah, he's had 3 games double digits and 3 games just under. 6, 7, 8, or 9. He's on pace to blow away his targets from last year. I don't think that they're forcing the ball too much to Diggs really at all. Beasley got a good chunk of the targets last week, and without John Brown, I think Allen's going to look for the guys that he trusts. He's still it's not like he's not throwing to Gabe Davis. Like, we saw a throw to Gabe Davis or two. We've seen him go to the tight ends. I don't get the sense at all that Allen is forcing one spot any more than any other, really, to be honest.
Right? Yeah, like, me either. He's actually quite good at spreading the ball around. That's actually a nice positive for him.
Sal Capaccio, meanwhile, just tweeted out some stats that I want to get to, and I think there's a good point that's illustrated here. Sal made a point about the offense, and then Mike Schoep tweeted, and like, there's a lot, Twitter, everything happens on Twitter. Sal pointed out that the Bills' offense this year has improved in a number of areas, including points per game. They are up from last year in points per game. And the number, I think a lot of Bills fans, if we had said before the season, you would have taken it, that they're up to 25 points per game scored, right? Like, last year, I think they were about 20. This year, up to 25. Like, wow. Sounds great. That does rank 20th in the league.
Yeah, that's a really good indicator of where this league is right now.
Yeah. You always have to be careful not to do too much comparison to yourself as opposed to comparison to the rest of the league. You and I talk golf. It's a golf tournament. You're not looking for your best round. You want the best round on the course that day. If you're in a tournament, if you're in a competitive league, you want the best offense, not your best offense. And 20th is not quite red flag, but is it caution flag? Again, it's early in the season. If they score 2 touchdowns against the Jets, their points per game might knock them up 0.6, and then they're 12th. Could be close. But the next time I feel really good about the Bills will be the next time the offense breaks out.
Yep.
For me, that's pretty much what it comes down to.
And that's fine, too. For me, there's going to be several games that they're going to need to have breakout. And frankly, Jeremy, what I think both of us are probably vying for, and I don't want to speak for you, but I would say you want to be in a place where scoring 35 points isn't like, oh, this is a good day. Like, they need to score 35 today to win. You just want to be like, I expect the offense to score 35 today. Can the defense make enough stops? Like, that's the conversation that I'd like to get to at a certain point is the offense, you know, is going to be in a position to put themselves in a place where they could score 30 to 35 points. Can the defense make enough stops? Like, those are the conversations I want to have. Unless, you know, well, the defense needs to play a perfect game and the offense has to scrape out 20, 24 points. That was the game plan 2 weeks ago. And I don't want that game plan. And I don't think that's a winning game plan against Arizona, against Seattle, against even San Francisco or New England. Definitely not Pittsburgh. You're going to have to find unique ways to score the ball against Pittsburgh. Like, no doubt about it, because that defense is really good. They turn the ball over, but the offense is scoring a lot of points there. And they've got a lot of weapons. So, I think for me, I just want to get to a place where 35 points is it doesn't have to be their average, but it just seems that's an easy spot to get to. And we're close, but, you know, they've basically, what, did they average 17 points a game last year?
I think it was 19.
19 points a game? All right.
Yeah.
So they're up 6 points. I mean, they're up a touchdown. Get it up 3 more points.
Yeah. And get it up on the level with the league. You know, it's got to keep rising. 803-0550 to join us, in 1-888-550-2550. Is there a limit to the number of points you'd like the Bills to beat the Patriots by? Throw out a number. 60? Like, the only thing that's tough is if people were at the stadium for this game, it would be about, like, not, like Sal said, bury them.
Yeah.
Do it. Do the job. They're wounded. They're not that good. There's no more Brady, but Belichick, of course, is still there, and things are falling apart for them. You cannot lose to this team. You cannot lose to New England this week.
No, and not only that, but I think from a, like, we talked about how they really needed to start the season 4-0 with the rest of the schedule. I feel the same way that I do about that, and saying that they likely need to be 6-0 in the division. That's how you easily get to 10 wins. And it's probably the only path to 11 wins. So for me, they need to beat the Patriots this week. It is a necessity. It's not something that I'm like, well, if they don't win, it'll be okay. They've got games. No, this becomes an incredibly important game to getting to 10 wins. And more importantly, winning the division at 6-0 is really the path forward for this team to be where they likely are going to need to be in a position to win a playoff game. Because you don't want to get in there and be the 5th or 6th seed playing an away game against a good football team. You'd rather be playing a home game against, you know, a team
another
that backed
team
their way into the playoffs.
Yeah, maybe. Or, I mean, that might be Baltimore or Pittsburgh.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Could be a good team.
Yeah.
I got another stat of the day for you here. I saw this and had to verify this, and it turns out to be true. It's not exactly a stat, so it doesn't have to be the stat of the day brought to you by Skyworks. So the Saints play the Bears this week. It will be their first outdoor game.
Of the season?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. It's November 1st.
Good for them.
It's their first outdoor game, and they play a grand total of 4 games outdoors.
Wow.
Yeah. They opened home with Tampa, Vegas, home Green Bay, Detroit, home L.A.,
boy, they better Carolina. Hope they get home playoff games.
4 outdoor games in a year. And the first one is November 1st in Chicago.
Yeah, because I feel like if you have to play Chicago in January in Chicago without really having much experience outdoors all season, I think they're going to be at a tough spot. That's tough, because I'm trying to think of the good Green Bay Packers are a good NFC team that are likely going to host playoff games.
Yeah.
Green Bay, Chicago. Who else is in the NFC that's outdoors that would be cold?
Seattle.
Oh, yeah, big time Seattle.
I mean,
I'm
not a big believer in the Saints this year. I just
either. But they're. I mean, for the last 5 years, they've been the NFC play Super Bowl pick. I mean, pretty much for the last 5 years.
Yeah.
I don't like him either, if that makes you feel any better.
It does make me feel better. I do feel better. I'm not
good.
Alone out here
good. Yeah.
In my not
in these
really,
streets. Yeah.
Yeah, not liking this anyway. 803-0550. Marcel Louis-Jacques joins us top of the hour. We'll continue talking Bills. Jeremy White, Nate Geary here on WGR.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
All right. Got some power rankings for you, and I actually want to play a fun game with you. Howard's off today. Jeremy White, Nate Geary, Brayton Wilson producing. All right, Nate. So the week 7 power rankings. Bills are 5-2. We'll play two little games here real quick.
Okay.
Number one. My only hint will be no one – actually, I really think no one will be mad about where the Bills are ranked, and no one can be mad about who's in front of them. Okay?
All right.
That's your hint on where they are ranked.
Okay.
So where do you think they are ranked? ESPN's NFL power rankings.
I have not seen them yet. So
that's good. That's perfect. That's I should have asked before the trivia. Or not even really trivia, but what number is totally reasonable and no Bills fans should be mad about where they're placed?
13th.
Okay. Get ready. Go ahead,
Brayton. I'll say 11th.
They're 8th.
Oh. All right.
Okay.
Right. Nobody. Well, all right. Look at 8th. Which 7 teams are in front of them where no one can be mad? Not a single. There's a person listening right now. It's like, oh, yeah, I'm going to try to be mad about this. And we're going to name 7 teams. And that person's going to be like, all right, I guess I'm not that upset about that. Who are the 7 teams ahead of them in the ESPN power rankings that where no one will be mad?
Steelers.
1.
Tampa and Green Bay.
Both ahead of them. Tampa is 7. Green Bay is 5.
Tennessee Titans.
Tennessee is ahead of them. Tennessee is 6th.
So we have 5 right there, right? No, 4.
Yep. You're missing numbers 2, 3, and 4.
Seattle. Three and four.
Seattle's number 3.
No team like the Cardinals are going to be ahead of
them.
The
Ravens?
Right? The Ravens are right. You guys are, yeah, you're missing some pretty obvious ones. The Ravens are 4th, and you're missing number 2.
Why are we missing
Why
number two?
Are we missing number two?
Right.
I don't know.
All right, hold on.
They beat the Bills.
Oh, yeah, Kansas City.
Oh, yeah. Idiots. Why? That was the most obvious one. Yeah. Okay. Yeah,
so that's... even the most I hate power rankings person.
Yeah.
Try to make a case about Steelers, Chiefs, Seahawks, Ravens, Packers, Titans, Bucks, and that's it. What do we do if we can't be mad at power rankings?
Yeah, we've entered uncharted territory.
Yeah. Ahead of the Cardinals, ahead of the Rams, both 5-2. Ahead of the Bears, who are 5-2. Browns are 5-2. There does seem to be a bit of a pulling apart of the league here. Like, there, I don't know, historically, are there going to be fewer 8-8 and 9-7, 7-9 teams than ever before? Because you've got a lot of bad teams, and it feels like you might – just get a lot of haves and have-nots and no middle class in the NFL this year. Anyway, there you go. Those are the power rankings. I saw that, and I had the reaction like, oh, 8th. All right. Marcel Louis-Jacques joins us on the other side. Jeremy White, Nate Geary. We'll get ready for Patriots Week. I mean, it's Patriots Week all week long. New England, You know, the first post-Brady matchup with the New England Patriots, and there is blood in the water. It is an opportunity for the Bills here. Marcel Louis-Jacques joins us next here on WGR.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.